Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Why are we here today? Not for a warm, fuzzy feeling.
No, we're here to study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We're here to take a bird's eye view, critical analysis and assessment, leaving no stone or leaf unturned, and crossing every T and dotting every I. Why are we doing this? Well, we're trying to formulate a constructive, codified relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Not one which is leaning to one's own understanding or doing what one wants to do and how they want to do it or whenever they want to do it. No, it's to get to the bottom of the matter because everything in life is codified. Everything in life. I don't care what it is. And if you go against the grain in codification, it's not going to work for you. So that's why we implore you to get the code straight, to establish a proper relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, so you can have some fresh benefits by the looks of it in this Western Hemisphere. And the, what is that country over there, that, the continent of the Europeans, seem like things are going awry, especially with Vladimir Putin, as Katria refers to him, is giving the people in Ukraine hell, and war is hell, and you better believe it. Most of the time, often in wars, it always is deposited on the laps of children and women and old people. So therefore, it is imperative that we get these codes right the way things are looking. We suggest you do that, okay? So before we get started in these studies, and praise and bless his holy name, Yah-I-L-M, you may be asking, Yamsuf, who is the we you're talking about helping us along in these studies? Well, we have Katria from New York City. He's one of the lead investigating students. We're all students of light. It doesn't stop till the casket drops, okay? The moment you feel that you don't have need to study anything, you got real problems, okay? Our kings had to study. The priests had to study. Are you something special? No, I don't think so. So we have to study, okay? Study with us, study when we're not there, and so on and so forth. Keep your studies up. It doesn't stop till the casket drops. And we have Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Brother Ezekiel from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Sister Yakira from Hawaii. So that being said, let me bring on Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Shalom. I hope you and your family had a beautiful weekend, a blessed weekend.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. And the same goes for you. I hope you had a peaceful, blessed weekend.
I did. Slept a lot.
Well, we get our age.
The rest.
Yeah, we get our age. You take a lot of cat naps and so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, I was working out, so I deserve that sleep. But I'm glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. That's good. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Praise God. And now, Katria from New York City. Katria, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What's going on?
Same old thing, bro. Putting in work. Putting in work. That's what's going on.
Putting in work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sad thing to see women and children, especially your elders, going through the torment that they're going through, especially, you know, the fact that you waging war on your own people. They speak your language, and it's like Judah waging war on Israel, Israel waging war on Judah.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are playing with dangerous weapons.
Yeah.
Exactly. They certainly are, Katriel. They certainly are. Well, Katriel, you're about to conclude and hand the reign, the baton off to Sister Yehudi. And once the Ecclesiastes, the studies there are done, where would Sister Yehudi be going to?
The Songs of King Solomon.
Okay, all right. Sounds like a play. Songs of King Solomon. Sounds like a play. All right, then. It's good to have both of you back, and it's good to be back. And it's good to have the other fellow students back. And you know for a fact, Sister Abby, she's always there. It's good to have her back, too.
Oh,
so let's get
started.
Yeah. So let's get started in our study, shall we? May the Most High bless us, direct us, and reward our steps. Turn to chapter 52, rather short chapter. And it's talking about in reference to like having an adulation, cheering, prostrate zeal. We're prostrate right now. What I mean by is we on our back, okay? But there's hope to come. So it says in verse 1 of 52, may the Most High bless us, awake, awake, he says that again. And you know, the funny thing about it, I was thinking about that statement, awake, awake. And he wants you to be in full cognizance of your mental and physical abilities. Some of us halfway wake up and we start, have you noticed that? I did it when I was a little boy. You got your leg and your shirt. You got your leg in your shirt pants, or your shirt, or your pants, you got your arm supposed to be going. See, a lot of folks wake up like that. That's why the Most High wants you to be fully awakened. See, some of us don't fully awake. We start dressing and preparing to do things, and we're not in full control of our cognizant, mental, and physical abilities. So you need to fully wake up before you start doing something. And it's quite evident, especially if you study the Most High. It's quite evident. Some of us are not fully awakened. So the Most High...
That's because they don't want to do nothing.
What's that, Katria?
That's because they don't want to do nothing. When you sleep, you ain't got to do nothing, right?
you better believe it.
And putting on strength, that's action.
Right.
Putting on strength ain't easy, is it?
Exactly. Girding your loins, getting yourself together. Getting yourself together ain't easy, as Scott ever referred. I agree with you. It takes some initiative and action. And he says, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments. And then he speaks to the city. O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth, there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised. And certainly a lot of uncircumcised and unclean people there. You know, they got the LBGTQ, XYZ trying to get into a knee. They over there. None of these things will come into the city anymore in futuristic terms, especially when we're back there. I don't know about the other folks. Shake thyself from the dust. And we're, as I said, I can't say this on radio land, but that... I can't even say it. I can't even say the word. But we in the dirt. Our behind's in the dirt, okay? They done knocked us out. What's that?
That our suffering is tied to the suffering of the land. The land's suffering is tied to our suffering.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why the first statement was made is because we're tethered together, us in the land. It is shake thyself from the dust. Arise. Get yourself in and sit down. I got something said to you. See, a lot of us like to rise, like to run about. The Most High said, get yourself up. Shake the dust off it. Then sit down. I need to rap to you. He said, O Jerusalem, the city, loose thyself from the bands on thy neck. You captive too. The city captive. O captive daughter of Zion. For thus said the Elohim. You have sold yourselves for nothing. We sold ourselves for nothing. I remember an incident in our previous study. Esau sold his heritage for nothing. Came back to hunting, too. And in some accord, we're simply the same way. He came back to hunt ourselves, selling ourselves into what other nations do, into that idolatry. And their perversions and fornications and so on and so forth. But for nothing. It was not advantageous for us for what we sold ourselves for. And ye shall be redeemed without money. I'm gonna buy you without money.
Hmm.
But thus said Yah. Go ahead.
Yah Su.
Yes.
We the only nation that can make this claim. That we were sold for nothing. Would they sell us for rum and guns? Gun and rum?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guns and rum. And chickens.
And he said that we will be turned. We'll be redeemed without money. So mm-hmm. Yah's taking us home. We ain't got to spend a dime.
You better believe it. And he says, okay, for thus said Yah Elohim, my people went down aforetime unto Mizraim. He said, in time past, to sojourn there. Remember the case in point when, who was that father? Who's the father? Okay. You know, I got so much stuff going on in my mind. Joseph.
Jacob.
Jacob. That's right. Jacob. Mm-hmm. Joseph's father. Remember they had a famine in the land, a famine. And he sent his sons to Mizraim, unbeknownst that his son was leading second in command there. And I'm going to let you newbies, go back and read it, study for yourself. But let me give you some case in point and reference. And let me give you a synopsis. Let me condense a condensed version. And come to find out, Joseph was alive, and Joseph was in charge, and a happy family reunion. And he invited his father to come there, and he gave his father instructions, what he said to Pharaoh, that they were herdsmen and land people. And the Pharaoh, the Mizraimis, felt there was a endeavors beneath them. So it made it quite prosperous for them because they could do the work for the Mizraimis and get rich at it. And so that's why they end up in Mizraim and became subject to the Pharaoh at that time, who didn't know Joseph and probably didn't want to know him because he wanted to hold us captives, which he did, and that's how we became captives in Mizraim. Okay, that's a condensed version. Go back and study for you and get the complete version. Okay, and so he says to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them with that cause. The Assyrians too. Now therefore, what have I here? Says the Elohim, that my people is taken away for nothing. Now I can't hear that. What I got here? What's really going on? That my people are taken away for nothing? That they rule over them and make them howl? And certainly we howl. 365 days a year, including a day in leap year, we are howling. We said, Black Lives Matter. Hands up, don't shoot. Don't kill me. I need better housing. I need better education. I need better health care. I need everything. Man, we howl at the wind. And our young men and women are like bulls on the corners, just howling and bumping and running and killing one another. The evidence doesn't lie. We are howling under this captivity, said the Elohim. And my name continued. And my name continued. As a result of what they're going through, my name is continually, every day being blasphemed. As a result, what my people do. Go ahead, Kadriel.
So, we're tied to the land. The land is tied to us. And it also shows that we're tied to Yah. Because what's happening to us is a blasphemy to his name.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
We in this condition is blasphemy to Yah because nobody realizes that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob rules. Because of the condition of his people.
Mm-hmm. But here's
why would God's chosen people be in his condition? So it's like a blasphemy. This is how the Creator's people are living. So it's blasphemy. We're not supposed to be living like this.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the problem. Verse 6, and I concur with you, explains why we're living like this somewhat. Because we don't know his name. Because if we did know his name, he said, therefore, my people know my name. But he said, they shall know, meaning inferring and suggesting that they don't know his name. Thus, they are living in the condition that they are living in. Therefore, they shall know in that day that doeth speak, behold, it is I. A lot of us don't know, unfortunately, Katriel and Sister Hootie and fellow students. Thus, we are rendered in this condition that we find ourselves in, and I speak. Howling, killing one another, and so on and so forth.
Yes, so this is personal to Yah, because a few chapters ago we read that he didn't give our mother a bill of divorcement, right? He said, where's your mother's bill of divorcement? She didn't give me no bill of divorcement, which means that Yah is our father. And what's it for a father to have children and his children don't even know his name?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying. My people shall know my name because I am their father. It is
exactly.
I'm coming to get y'all, taking y'all back because y'all were sold for nothing, and y'all going to be redeemed without money because y'all seen what I did to the Egyptians and the Assyrians, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, this categorizes us because the Jewish man knows the Most High's name. Even when he went through his so-called Holocaust, he knew the Most High's name. We, on the other hand, has been beaten out of us to the degree our people don't know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And thank you, God. In chapter 7, verse 7, they have stolen this and tried to make this refer to an individual man. It does not refer to an individual man. It refers to any man or woman that bring these good tidings, this information. They said, how beautiful among the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that which we're bringing, that publish peace, which we're bringing, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, which we're bringing, thus upon Zion, thy Yah reigneth, which we're bringing. And so that would refer to Sushihuti, Katrael, Yom Suf Ha'ri, or anyone else for that matter, that tells you who Yah is, what he is, what he's about, his expectation, what he's got for you, so you can have some joy in it. That's anybody, but they've seen on this new thing that they got, I don't do the new thing, with the red letters, they try to make it apply to a one individual. It does not apply to one individual. It applies to anyone in this nation that brings this truth of Yah to this nation in darkness. And
it's actually talking about the prophet Isaiah himself or any prophet that's speaking the word of Yah. Because he's telling you, he's telling us, he's telling the world, Yah's plan. And the future is going to be peace. That's what we read. Zion's going to bring forth like the Garden of Eden, and his people is going to be redeemed. Those are the good tidings that we're talking about. And salvation, redemption, he's saying that's Zion, which Isaiah is speaking in the beginning of the chapter, that our Elohim reigns in the earth, and everybody's going to know it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And and a domino effect of that is us, who is repeating the same message. So I agree with you. It's about Isaiah, but in addition, the domino effect of those who are conscious, cognizant, and are putting in work for Yah, and are speaking what thus said Yah is concerned, what based upon what Isaiah has left this information for us, the prophet Isaiah. In verse 28, verse 8, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, and we're all like watchmen, or watchwomen. But the voice together they shall see, for they shall see eye to eye, which we do, when the LM shall bring again Zion. We will break forth into joy, sing together, not Yom Suf Ha'ri by yourself, ye waste place of Jerusalem, for the LM had comforted. Why? For the LM had comforted his people. He had redeemed Jerusalem. And that's why we will be singing together. Yom Suf too. Yah had made bare his heap. You know when somebody pull up their sleeves, they finna get ready to put his work at it. So Yah had made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all that he put in work. And it ain't no secret. In the eyes of all nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Elohim. They'll see that Yah is putting in work for us. And we certainly need to be putting in work for him too also, right? All right. Depart ye. Go out from thence. Get away from these people. Get away from these people. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye at the midst of her, the daughter of Babylon. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Elohim, You're servants of the Most High. You can't be like them. That's what got you in the situation you find ourselves in as I speak. Get out away from them. Get away from the Black Lives Matter, the Democratic Party, Republican Party, LBGTQXYZ trying to get at you and me or anything else that keeps you separated from the Most High. Get away from those things. Get away from them. For ye should not go with haste, nor go by flight. For Yah will go before you. See, stop the press. Hold your horse. I'm trying to get away. Most High said, wait on me. But in the process while you waiting on me, put in some work. Put in some work. Get away from that mentality of this Western Hemisphere, universal white race supremacy, and anything else for that matter, and any other organization trying to get you about feminism and anything else y'all into. Get away from them people.
Find out because the codes and clean yourself up.
Exactly, right? Country. Exactly. Do the best you can with what you got. Because this ain't going to be no hasty situation. Nor go by flight. For Yah will go before you. You got to wait on Yah. And the Elohim of Israel will be rewarded as a result of us. And Yah says,
that means reward. You know what a reward is, right? You military.
What?
That's guarding you from behind. The reward.
Oh, real world. Yeah, real world. Y'all going to be leading in the front and watching us in the back. And he can do it, too. I like that. He leads in the front, not Yom Su. He watching in the back, not Yom Su. All right, not you neither. Okay? So behold, my servants. My servants, you listen to this. Behold, my servants shall deal prudently. You're going to learn how to be prudent. A lot of you running your mouth off and don't know what you're talking about, doing things you shouldn't be doing and following everything and being the poster child for everything. But you're going to learn. You're going to learn to be prudent. He shall be exalted because of your prudence and extolled and be very high because you got away from this Western culture, universal white race supremacy, and every other tacky, trashy, and a terroristic thing that got going on. Our young men and women on corners acting like bulls, killing one another, and so on and so forth. Don't know how to respect their elders, and so on and so forth. A continuum. You're going to get away from all that. And once you get away from all that, you're going to learn how to comport yourself prudently. And as a result of your putting in work and comporting yourself prudently, you shall be exalted and extolled. It takes some action, some work on your part, and be very high. As many were as stone at thee, and many folk looked at folk with a downward eye. His visage was so marred as a result of people looking down on you, more than any man, and ain't nobody they look down on no more than any human being is us. And you better believe. You take this template right here. You take this template and apply it to any nation of people, universally speaking. And ain't nobody looked down so negatively, so toxic and poisonous and mistreated us as a result is but us. I'm not talking about the people over there now. Because they were looked down upon in Germany as a result of Adolf Hitler and put into concentration camp because they said they was us. But they have not been in a continuum. They've been in self-exploitation and try to a pretense. But we ain't been in no self-exploitation or pretense. It is what it is, and it's real because it's real. Okay? They have subjected themselves to mistreatment. But not on the same scale we have been subjected to. Because they tried to, when you try to pretend you somebody, you try to say, oh, I got it. I like, I'm going through what country or what Yom Suf, what Yehuda going. I got to act like, it's really hurt me like that. We act like it. It is like it for us. 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. This ain't no plaything for us. This is something real, what we go through. Mm-hmm. But you can fake the funk and try to pretend you like that. But ain't no other nation of people have been subjected to the treatment. We've been looked down with a jaundiced eye and a jaundiced mistreatment. And it says, his visage was marred more than any man, and certainly we have been, universally speaking. His form more than the sons of men, and certainly that is the truth. The Most High don't lie. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths. He's going to put a hurt on many of nations as a result of us, and many of our nations have been a participant, a conspired conspiracy against us. So when the Most High put that can of whoop behind on people, it ain't going to be just this Western Hemisphere and these United States of America. Everybody participated in it. Even Ishmael participated in it. Even Esau participated in it. So ain't nobody going to get away. The king just shut their mouth at him, at which had not been told them. See, they've been told we just dirty niggas. We lazy. We good for nothing. We don't want nothing. And that ain't, and they don't give nothing. They're crazy as they want to be. In some cases, that's some truth. Because you know why that's true? They've socially engineered and conditioned us to be that way. Because we don't know y'all. And we don't know what's going to get us out of this situation. And therefore, thus we are what we are. Because if you don't know who you are, and what you should be doing, and who are you codified to, the end result is a hot mess. Oh, it's true. And so, because they ain't been told that. Them niggas ain't about nothing. Lazy, good for nothing. They say have sex with everybody. They kill each other. And there's some truth to that. Because of social engineering and conditioning on the universal white race supremacy, which I would say is the component of this last captivity, which is the daughter of Babylon. She's entrenched with universal white race supremacy. And thus we have been socially engineered and conditioned to be the way we are. And a lot of those folks don't even know who we are. A lot of them do, but a lot of them don't. They just said we look good for nothing niggers. And some of us, because of our social engineering, and I don't blame it on us. I don't put the onus on us. I put the onus on our enemies. But we bear some responsibility. We need to put in some work. Wake up. Clean yourself up. Get away from them. Turn to your LOM. Cry to Yah. Unify together. Take care of one another. And he says, which have not been told them, shall they see. They going to see that we are, they think we are. And that which they had not heard you, it's going to be a flip the script. Because they've been told and educated on the universal white race supremacy, which is the premise of this last captivity, daughter of Babylon, that we are good for nothing niggers. We don't want nothing. We ain't about nothing. And we'll kill each other at the drop of a dime. And there's some truth to that. But the onus, it's not on us, but we bear some responsibility. We bear some responsibility because the Most High said, awake, awake. And we bear some responsibility because the Most High says, get yourself out the dust. Stop doing what you do. Get away from them. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cartrell, Sister Hootie, you have the mics.
Praise Yah, another powerful chapter.
Beautiful.
Most High telling us, awake, awake, put on our strength. What is our strength? Do we know? Oh, you find out that Yah is our strength.
Exactly.
And he says, shake yourself from the dust, arise, sit down, Jerusalem. Don't worry about things. Loose yourself from the bands of thy neck. You're talking about this indoctrination that we've gotten from this captivity. Oh, captive daughter of Zion. But thus say, Yah, you have sold yourself for nothing. And you shall be redeemed with that money. So we get down to the 13th verse, right? Because they like to do that, skip around, skip to my little education. They'll jump down to, let's go to 52:13 and see what it says there. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. They're going to attribute that to some kind of Messiah. And we already know who Yah serving is because we're reading the book of Isaiah. And throughout the whole book of Isaiah, he's letting us know that Israel, Jacob, King David, is his servant.
Uh-huh.
It didn't change all of a sudden now because you went to 52:13 and you think it's talking about somebody else. No, my servant is Israel, Jacob. That's what he calls us, Yeshurim, right? Mm-hmm. All throughout the book of Isaiah. And I can give you the references of where he calls us his servant. At least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least 11 times up to this point, he's called us his servant. And what's going to happen, like you described, Yamsu, the Most High is going to flip the script because the world is going to realize we are the chosen. We are his servant. And it's going to make them consider, damn, we had our foot in their neck, our knees in their back. We were shooting them down. And all this time, this is Yah's treasure. This is Yah's chosen people. Because they're going to be astonished. The Most High is telling us to put on his strength, which is what we're trying to do, the spiritual strength, the physical strength. Stop eating these unclean things. Get away from the things that are poisoning us.
Mm-hmm.
And connect with our strength, which is Yah, because he's going to lead the way. He's telling us to get out of this. Depart ye, in the 11th verse. Depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Not just physical, but mental and spiritual too. Right? Because there's a lot of unclean things in America. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean. Mentally, spiritually, and physically, that bear the vessels of Yah. Yeah. Specifically, those that bear the vessels are the Levites, and we don't even know who they are. So we need to be following their lead and doing what they're doing and leave unclean things alone.
Mm-hmm.
For you shall not go out in haste, not with fear, not with our own plans, right? Or we should go here, we should go there. Yah said, no, we're not going out in haste. We went out in haste in Egypt. We had to, what do you say, take your staff in your hand, your shoes in your feet, and get up and get out. We had to leave Egypt in somewhat haste. But this time, he said, we're not going out in haste, nor by flight, for Yah will go before you. That's the signal. Oh, there's Yah. We know him, and we're being led by him, and your Elohim will be a reward. So my servant shall deal prudently. That's what we better start doing now.
Now, when it says in 12 that, and the Elohim of Israel is your rear guard, that's what you had said earlier, right?
Yes.
He'll be your rear guard. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when we left Egypt, that's what he did, right? The pillar of fire was behind us while the Egyptians were chasing us, and they couldn't get through. But he was also showing us the way to go at the same time.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Gabriel. So, Judy, any commentary?
Well, I want to get to 53. That's going to be a really hot chapter because that's where a lot of Christians and Israel go to claim that there's a Messiah, singular. So, nope.
Thank you very much, Sister Judy. Go ahead, Katrina.
Which chapter?
53.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have to skip to my little education.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't read the book from chapter 1 like we have up to, where we have now 52 going into 53,
right,
you will be mesmerized that y'all are talking about his servant. Huh?
Uh-huh. I call it fairy tale thinking. You say skip
similar. But you can see how people's minds can be manipulated so easily, right?
Exactly.
Because if you didn't read from 1 to 52 and you just read 53, you might think that he's just talking about one man, and a man is in that book, the New Testament.
And 52, yeah, both 52 and 53, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you read commentary on it, they'll slide him right up in there. Oh, this is where he comes in. Oh, really? After we've been talking about, or Yah's been talking about Jacob and King David and Israel being his servant and his servant being walking in darkness. Chapter 50 says his servant is walking in darkness. And that's what we're doing, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what I made reference to. They put that new thing in there with the red letters and doesn't have any reference to that. Doesn't apply to that and have any reference to that. All right.
But again, It shows how people's mind can be manipulated when they don't do their due diligence, when they don't read the whole thing, chapter by chapter.
Propaganda. Propaganda is all it is.
Mind control.
We're seeing this in the case of Russia with Ukraine. Propaganda in its homeland. Lies and more lies on top of lies. And you think they can't do it with the Most High word against people that don't know who he is, what he is, or what they should be doing in regards to a codified relationship? If you don't know who he is, what he is, or yourself, and the codification in the relationship, you'll be totally confused about everything. You'll go along with anything.
If they could do it with the word of Yah, which everybody got in their head because everybody got a Bible, and they can manipulate your mind in plain sight, they could do it with anything.
If you don't study. Cartrell, Sister Udi, we're looking forward to the next segment of study in Ecclesiastes. Lady Most High, bless
you. Praise God. Most High bless you as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate it, too.
Yes, the Most High bless the soul of our King, King Solomon. We're left with so many jewels, so many paths to lead us back to the Most High, lead us to wisdom, which is the connection to Yah, and really his instructions, because he's like a father to us, speaking to the generations that came behind him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's his responsibility in informing us in the paths that we should go. So I'll pray to the Holy One of Yisrael, the book of Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, chapter 12.
Okay.
Remember now thy creator. Ain't that what Yah said he gonna make us do? Remember who he is and let us know
right.
Who he is. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days came not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So he's telling the young people, you better find Yah early in your youth, before the evil days come.
Mm-hmm.
While you're carefree and you don't have really responsibilities, you should learn about the Most High early.
Mm-hmm.
While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cause because they are few and those that look out of the window be darkened. So we're talking about a time when Yah is bringing his judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall he be in the way. Let me read that again. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be in a burden, and the desires shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. Whatever the silver be cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Elohim who gave it. So these dark days are coming when things that used to be normal ain't normal. And I guess the people of Ukraine could give testimony to this as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Oh, many kings didn't do that, did they?
No.
King David did it to a great degree,
mm-hmm.
but King Solomon took it to another level. But this is what a king's supposed to do, if he's a real leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Do people do that?
No, they
just say anything.
They didn't write anything down.
Especially on food.
Go to food books, you'll find out.
So if he was here today, he would try to find acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. So he's speaking acceptable words, upright words, and words of truth. That should be our motto, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The words of the wise are as goats. And what are goats? They try to point you in the right direction, right? It may hurt. But when somebody's goading you, they're trying to keep you from danger, aren't they? That's what a good shepherd does. And wise words are like a shepherd. You may want to go into that jungle, but that shepherd's going to crack you in that side with that staff he got, and you're going to go the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So wise words are like goats. A lot of people can't stand it because it hurts, like a shepherd hitting you in the side with that staff, but on a spiritual level. And as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. So in order to fasten a nail, you got to hit it, don't you? Which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness to the flesh. Yes, okay. You must study the book that you have in your hand. You cannot do the skip some aloo education and be informed or increase your knowledge. So you have to keep studying. It may wear you out physically, but you're gaining strength spiritually.
No, he said many books. Mine says, mine. And besides these, this is 12, my son, be warned. The making of many books has no end, and much studying is a worrying of the flesh. I've heard over the years, too much study can harm you. There's people who are book educated and don't have no common sense, do they? They got the book knowledge, but not the street knowledge.
Where, if I may, expound upon that. It's simply this. There's no limit to commentaries upon commentaries upon commentaries and so on and so forth. But the final matter is what Yah says. You know, you got a guy that's not even from our nation. You telling me what he said? I don't want to hear about nobody of this nation what they said. There's many studies upon people writing books about Yah and this and that and the other. And that can become wearisome. Just study the word of Yah. Focus on Yah. What does Yah say based upon what your people say, what Yah said? Based upon people that's following the code, what Yah says. You reading commentary upon commentary. You skip to the loo, my darling. You're doing everything. You're doing too much. They can write a book next week. You write into it. Oh, they got a book coming out on the bestseller commentary. I need to get it. No, you need to get your mind right with Yah. That's what you need to do. Because that other study upon commentary and so on and so forth become wearisome. Focus in on Yah. You'll get it. Go ahead, Katria.
Absolutely. It's an admonishment. It's a warning. Don't get too deep in your studies that you get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end because there's so many libraries. Matter of fact, when I went to college, I fell in love with the library, but you can't read every book in that library.
That's right.
No. And much study is a weariness to the flesh. Yeah. You can't just sit down all day and be reading books like a bookworm or some kind of nerd. You need to live the other part of your life, mental, mm-hmm. physical, and spiritual. Right?
Exactly.
I know I'm trying to, if you don't study on a regular basis, little at a time or whatever your pace, even in school, you know, you have these good habits. And I know I let my work back up and I'm all night trying to study and I'm getting fatigued. Then I drink some coffee that I shouldn't have. It was up all night. And then when I went to school the next day, I was so sleepy, mm-hmm. and worn out because I didn't prepare my study. You can look at it that way too. We're all correct.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hard tip on my brain and my body. So there's nothing wrong reading, period. But when you overload yourself, because I've experienced it, we all have, it's weariness. Some people I know only read, I mean, they read other things, but they concentrate mostly on the scriptures and know more or just as much as we do and know the history. The Most High gives that insight. He said, just ask. ask for understanding. At whatever your desire, to know. I wanted to know. And it was revealed. It didn't say that I was going to like it, but I walked right into it. And I want to continue to absorb knowledge like a sponge. And I hope we all just listening in like that. But we all at our own pace.
What did King Solomon say at the very beginning? Not the very beginning, but when he started out in Ecclesiastes. There's a time and place for everything under the sun.
Uh-huh.
You can't do everything. Hey, look, I like eating chicken. You think I'm eating chicken every day, 24 hours a day, every hour of the day? It become wearisome.
Yeah.
That's common sense. You need to put the studies away sometime and enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enjoy life, then get back. Time and place for everything. You can't study 24/7. So, like I said, I like chicken, but I don't want to eat it every day every hour of the day and every day of the week. I don't want to eat chicken. Okay.
Good example. What you have, let's say, an hour 20 minutes is nice.
Right.
Because you know people have studies and it gets boring. After 2 hours, you go.
Exactly.
And when you want to do further studying on your own time, that's okay. But
right.
When you study, something is gravitated within you. It carries through your day and your communication with your family, with yourself, with people you care about, with daily people. You have like that inner glow. Because you're walking in the way that the Most High that you know of, that stands for me too. We're just talking.
Right.
The way we should go. And when I find, I'll speak for myself. I search it out, say, oops, I made a mistake. Let me correct that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah. We all learn different, but prayfully that we're all going the same direction. Maybe in different phases, and that's okay too, as long as we're consistent. But you're right. Too much of it, people will go nuts. I've seen people just spaz out.
Let me tell you something, Sister Yehudi, and this, my daddy one time, I was singing a song. I ain't never had enough of nothing yet. My dad said, hey, boy, I guess he got tired of hearing that song. It became wearisome to me. Yeah, I was just in the back, all right? He said, hey, boy, don't sing that song. And me being Yum Su, you know, I didn't say nothing for a moment. And I broke out singing it again. I ain't never had enough of nothing. Daddy gave me enough later on, okay? Daddy gave me enough.
You was trying them.
He became wearisome to him. He told me, he said, hey, boy, don't sing that song no more. Well, I waited about 5-10 minutes, you know. I broke out and hit the note again. You know, that's why I know Cotrell ain't lying. You know, you can't sing, you know. So I know Cotrell ain't lying.
You can sing.
Leah, so Pop gave me enough that day. All right, Katya. Get to the conclusion of the matter, Katya.
Well, before I conclude, I just want to make a comment because
right.
Most High in the book of Isaiah is admonishing his servant to awake, awake, put on your strength. So we have to get up out of the condition that we've been put in, and it may take a lot of study to get out of the false studies or false doctrines. Which has been a weariness to our flesh. The making of many books. We studied Western philosophy, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, and the New Testament and Greek writings and things of this nature, and it's worn us out. So Yah wants us to wake ourselves up and put on our will strength, which means our focus should be on him and his word. Like what King Solomon is saying here, find the acceptable words, which are upright, and even words of truth in the 10th verse. And the conclusion of the whole matter, So let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Right? So, as I said, we need to fear Yah, not Plato, not Socrates, not Aristotle, not the Democratic Republican Party or with democracy or any other thing is about religious doctrine. We need to find out what Yah's commands are. And he has a whole book that people ignore. And we're not ignoring it. We're going through it chapter by chapter because that's the whole duty of man. Find out what these commandments are and fear him and do them, right?
Exactly.
Four,
and he found
Elohim,
doing
huh?
That's it. And he found doing them, wherever we are, that it manifests within you that you can be the light to the people.
Not only the light to the people, but you're preserving your own soul. Because a lot of people conclude this chapter with this verse right here. But it doesn't stop there. Or the whole conclusion of the thing is fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's where they stop. But there's consequences. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment. How many works?
Every. He said it. Every.
With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
That's right.
So your actions on the earth while you're living, he's commanding us to fear him and keep his commandments, because if you're not, every secret thing, every evil thing that you do is going to be brought to light no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So the practice of following Yah's command is the good thing. That's why our laser focus should be on that, because everything that you do is going to be brought into judgment.
Exactly. You know what, Katria? It's funny you said that about Socrates and Plato. I was talking to the wife this weekend, because I got bookshelves full of books at the home. I've read Plato, Socrates, and so on and so forth. I said, that's
Shakespeare.
Really okay. Yes, Shakespeare. I've read all that. I said, but what really have made life different for me, have made me get codified, is Yah's word and study it on a consistent basis in context. When I skip to the loop of that, going to other books and other, which would make me weary, to stay focused on who I am, the code, Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, the code, and how one must learn to be prudent. You got to change. You can't, because you have the residual effect of these Western hemispheres, this Western culture. You cannot bring that culture to Yah. You have to wake up. You have to shake the dust off of you. You got to get away from that, and you got to subscribe to the codification under Yah and learn to become prudent. Because the more you act like our oppressors, it's going to hurt you. And a fine analysis, it's going to work for you. It's going to work on you. It's true.
Yes. So a lot of people, they say they read the Bible, they read the Bible. No, you have to study. Reading and studying are two different things.
Exactly. Praise Yah. Because you know what? Studying, Katria, when you study in your field in carpentry, you study to become a carpenter. And you became codified, and you attain what made a carpenter, because when you went in to do carpentry, you didn't go in there doing cartrail. You went in there doing carpentry work. That's what made you good at it. You did 30 plus years at it. So that means you had to be good at it, okay?
And there's books that carpenters must study. You know, to become carpenters. You can't just pick up a carpenter book and read it and then go out in the field and think you're going to be a carpenter. No, you have to study what those books are saying and understand in fullness what they're trying to bring to you so that you can become that profession.
And
you can't just pick up an electrician book and read it and go out and be an electrician. You got to study what it means. Just like driving. You can't pick up a driving book and just read it, go take the test and get a driver's license. Better study that book, because you'll fail that test and you won't get your license, right?
Right. You got to get cold, bro. And I'm going to tell you, just because you put on a carpenter belt, don't make you no carpenter now. Just because you pick up Yah's word, don't make you Yah's people now. Put on a carpenter belt, going into a job, I'm a carpenter. You, man, okay, try that.
Right.
Steve's going to get a paycheck at the end of the week. You ain't going to make it to the end of the week. I guarantee you. So
you won't make it to the end of the day, half the day.
How much more y'all?
Huh?
How much more y'all?
How much more y'all?
If you ain't going to get coded with y'all and it shows some action, picking up that Bible don't mean a doggone thing. And picking up, just like picking up that carpet and belt don't mean a doggone thing.
And listen, it's funny you say that because there's different aspects to carpentry. There's sheetrock carpenters, there's concrete carpenters, there's ceiling carpenters, inside carpenters, outside carpenters, right? So
right.
People shape for jobs. We go out to the hall, we, you know, put our credentials up. What trade do you do? I say, I do everything. I do concrete, I do sheetrock, I do ceiling, whatever y'all got. I'm with it because
right.
I study.
Yeah.
There's
right.
other carpenters that say, I only do concrete. Or there's carpenters that say, I only do sheetrock. So
right.
it comes times when you get desperate, right? Carpenters want to go out on any job. You haven't
right.
done concrete, but you're a sheetrock carpenter. So you go out on a concrete job, but you're a sheetrock carpenter. As soon as they see your tools, they send you home. You're not a concrete carpenter. You're a sheetrock
yeah.
carpenter.
Just like y'all going to send a whole lot of folks home, okay? Coming up there with a
oh,
Bible.
Yeah.
And coming up here with a Bible, thus saying, y'all, shows no acrimonies, shows no study, shows no prudence, shows no nothing. I just read the Bible, y'all. That's all I did. Come on. Sorry.
And JC is my savior.
Oh, my God.
All right, now. We'll see how it
worked
out for you.
All right. All right. You know, what I know now, it's just insanity. Because I think we've all been through that.
Right.
Leaving as a child, a white person. That's what it amounts to. Let's just be honest.
Right.
It doesn't matter if they try to turn him brown and call him by a Hebrew name. The original set. Mindset got you into thinking he was Caucasian or pale or pink.
Right.
The captor. So how could you pray? You turn into the system. You're dedicated and they get mad because it condemns them. I said, you pray into the system, the very system that is enslaving you right now.
Right.
If you weren't slaves, how come the police and various groups still beat on us? And murder us. I don't want to hear about what they do to themselves. I'm talking about what they do to us. We just
right.
read it. They still do it.
They make us howl. They make us howl, sister.
Yeah. You're worshiping a white man. My cousin used to say we worship a white man. We put a white man on our wall, he looked with long hair, looked like a pimp and a sissy at the same time.
No,
and you worship the same God the Ku Klux Klan worship.
Yeah.
How that work? But look at sister. Now, remember back in the day, y'all know Yukon Trail, Sister Huey and Sister Abby, y'all. They had three entities on the wall. Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and a white Jesus. Y'all know I ain't lying.
But see,
and all three of them got killed.
Yeah. So, but the foolishness, what it is, we see the foolishness. But we still have to be humble. Even though we see this, we laugh, we joke, that's okay. We see
right.
the foolishness in the process of these people worshiping. They're very same, just like when Malcolm had that skit about, yes, and boss, our house is burning down.
Mm-hmm. The field Negro
our house
and the
is
house
burning
Negro.
Down. Huh?
The field Negro versus the house Negro.
They both the same.
No, they're not.
No, they are. Not what Malcolm said. Malcolm said the field Negro, he said let it burn. The house
Negro was gasoline.
Well, reason I say that, well, he's not wrong, but what's her name? The woman who was in the house. She was a slave. And Yochanan read the story. He was surprised. And she would always burn her master's house down.
Right.
And they wasn't. They kept, she kept being sold off. But she kept burning the master's house down. You know,
I like her. I like her.
And she was in the house. And a lot of these servants, depending on where you were, they weren't sampled at all. You know,
they were spooks who sat by the door.
Huh? Yeah.
They were the spooks who sat by the door. You know about that?
Okay, what just happened?
All right. That was my phone, but like we've come to another conclusion of study, though. I mean, when you're doing good, you're putting in good work, you know, it's just when you're having fun at what you're doing, you love what you're doing, time seems to fly by, as in this case. Sister Hootie, do you have any closing comments or remarks?
Yeah, her name was, I got to say, this is going to be my closing. Her name was Aunt Drula Jones, an Alabama Wharton, okay? She was enslaved in Alabama, and she tried to burn the house of her former slave master down while he was asleep in it. All anyone ever said about her was that she totally despised the white man. He knew she was trying to get him. She was a revolutionary who said, never be loyal to the slave master. You hear that? During the Civil War, she tried to burn down every overseer's house. So don't tell you women in power. And I do have a photograph of her. She was 92 before she died. She was really Drusilla Jones or Aunt Jonas. She was a mean gal, as they say. She was something else, but she did help other slaves.
That won't put in good work.
There you go.
Good work.
And I'm not suggesting y'all burn, but I suggest that you learn your history. And that was part of history.
Praise
y'all. I may start reading. Like, remember I used to, Yom Su? Just to snip it, like a minute.
Yeah.
Because I have them on my page, Oldies but Goodies, and it's a lot of things that we've done, our ancestors done here that's just remarkable and not kissing up to the slave master. So, shalom, everybody. Peace and love.
Thank you very much, sister. Katriel, call the remarks or comments.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, to our kings that gave us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And in line with Sister Yehudi was saying about our sisters that was bad, there's a sister named Marie Dos Homies. They call her Maria 12 Men. They say she was given her name because she was attacked by 12 men at a citywide festival and knocked them out with her powerful fist blows, knees, kicks, headbutts, and wrestling. Her name is Maria 12 Men. A bad sister knocked out 12 men.
It was bad mama jella. She's a bad mama jella. Go
ahead. So all praise and glory to the Holy One of Israel and the daughters of Zion. Most I said, awake, awake, put on your strength. Y'all go out there and knock the enemy out 12 at a time. Praise y'all.
Yeah, we need more sisters to knock out the people too, real talk, man.
Oh yeah. Knees, elbows, everything. Go ahead. Go ahead and what you got.
My kind of woman. Right. Yeah, let's talk and let's walk. All right, y'all. It's been a pleasure and it's been humorous at the end of the show. And it's been a pleasure with Cartrell and Sister Hootie to bring Yah's word to your attention. And we pray that you humble yourselves and stop leaning to your own understanding. It ain't cute and it ain't working for you. Stop to skip to the loop study. Stop being wearisome upon commentary upon commentary upon commentary. And as Sister Yehudi alluded to, ask the Most High for wisdom and understanding. He'll point you in the right direction. You ain't got to go all the books and whatnot. But study the Most High word. Stop leaning to your own understanding. As a matter of fact, at the end of every study show, we offer you an opportunity to get this code right. This code, not only in the relationship with the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, which we are his servants, but with one another too. Because one affects the other in what our land. It's a domino effect. The Most High, ourselves, and our land. We're all connected. And if we're connected wrongly, it's disjointed. Get connected rightly, so we'll be jointed rightly, and we'll act prudently in regards to one another, and most important, in regards to Yah, and we're back in the land, and prudent in our land. So we offer you gifts that we can't give you, the Most High can give you. Ask the Most High for a new heart and a spirit, just like King David. I assure you, it'll work for you if you get it from him.
And not
praise
only.
Yeah, and not only. Praise the Most High. Holy name. We love you. Shalom and good night. Katriel Sushihudi, you want to say shalom and good night to the people?
Okay. Shalom.
Yes, sir. Shalom, shalom and good night. Lala Tov.
We love y'all. Good night.